We have a helpful illustration of this in the tabernacle in the Old Testament, where you see first God comes out. So he shows all the glories inside and comes out, and he meets the people at the altar. The sacrifice is the base of everything, and then with the priest you are brought inside, as it were. And so what we will see with the priest, he represents God to the people, but he also brings the people to God. And so there is the two sides in connection with the priesthood. First of all, to present God to the people, and then to bring the people to God. And so also today, in connection with the Lord's ministry, he shows what God is, who he is, but then also he brings us to God, the God who he has revealed. And so what we saw this morning, the prophet who presents God's thoughts is very closely connected to the priest, but the priest is more connected with the sacrifice, of course, but really also the matter of response that we were talking about earlier, and we will talk about that also, is intimately connected. These topics are all intimately connected, but yet they are different, and God helps us when we distinguish the differences to have a better understanding of the greatness of the Lord Jesus. When we look at him as the prophet, we see how great he is. When we look at him as the priest in Hebrews, we see how great he is. Whether it was on this earth, when he was not officially a priest, because he was in the tribe of Judah. And yet he was a priest on this earth, because on the cross, we'll talk about it in connection with the sacrifice, he did priestly service. And he was also the sacrifice himself. And then we see how he opened the door to bring us to God. It's amazing what the Lord Jesus has done as the great priest. And there again we see his greatness. And now we are connected with him. He has a company of priestly sons. And so a lot of thoughts are connected with him, the priest. The priest had a household called the house of Aaron. That is the priestly family. But now the Lord Jesus is not only the great Aaron in heaven. We'll see him also as the great Melchizedek, as Bill already mentioned earlier. And the two are distinct, but not necessarily conflicting. The Lord Jesus, he does now work of after the order of Aaron in heaven, but he is really the high priest after the order of Melchizedek. With him, a new order of things have been introduced. And Hebrews really explains that in more detail, how the Old Testament order that was from father on son, that could never bring the solution. It helps us to understand who Christ is as the great Aaron, but we need him as the great Melchizedek to really see how he has brought in a new order of things, and we belong to him now in connection with this new order of things.
I think before we probably have in mind to read the scriptures that were presented, I think the order of Melchizedek in Genesis 14 will set forth before us what does a priest do. Because it's very interesting. So many times you might read that portion and go through it quickly without really contemplating what might the Spirit of God be intending behind it. So here Abraham had a great victory. He was into restoring souls. He restored the soul of Lot. And while he was coming down, and the king of Sodom was intending to go and meet him and to offer him, you might say, the riches of Sodom and Gomorrah. In between that, the Melchizedek, the priest of the Most High, appears into the picture. How does he appear? The first thing it says of him, that he brought bread and wine. I don't want the brethren to stone me yet. I just want to make a point. When the Lord has introduced his supper, the remembrance of it is the first day of the week. So that when we contemplate the bread and the wine, simple things given to us, and yet it has a tremendous message to be considering the person of who was this blessed person, so that when we go through the remainder of the week, we might consider the greatness of this blessed person and be able to despise every other thing that the world will throw my way. That's how Melchizedek comes. He just brings two simple elements, bread and wine. That if your soul and my soul is going to be sustained, it's going to be sustained by God Himself and by His great high priest. So when I'm in the good, that I can only be sustained by God. He prepared Abraham. He interceded, if you will, or came to his help, not in relationship to sin. The great high priest doesn't deal really, in his first part of Hebrews, with any sin. He deals with infirmities, with weaknesses that you and I, we might face in the journey here on earth. So you know what? Here comes Melchizedek. Wanted to strengthen Abraham so that he will be one that will reject everything that king of Sodom was going to offer him. And that's why we have a great high priest. He helps us. He succors us. He supports us. He maintains us so that you and I will be able to refuse and reject everything this world is going to throw our way. And that's how we see it. The first mentioning of a great high priest, or the priest of the great of the Most High, is acting in that way to give Abraham the support that he needs, the sustenance that he needs, so that when King Sodom offers him the reward and the money, he can say to him, "No, nothing I will take from you." And that's what Christ impresses upon our souls as a great high priest, so that we can go through this journey until we reach home, despising everything and anything the world has to offer us.
I'd like to tie this in. I don't want to jump ahead, but just to see the connection while we are here in Genesis 14, how there is a matter of response at the same time.
Yes.
But also how the high priest brings the response. Like when you study Hebrews, you see the Lord is everything. So He reveals God, He brings the response. And here, Melchizedek, he reveals God, the Most High God, and he blesses Abraham. The word bless really means, it's connected with the word that means kneel down. And so, this response, that's why he uses, this is a response. Here, Melchizedek, he kneels down, as it were, before the Most High God, and he introduces Abraham to that Most High God, and he blesses God also on behalf of Abraham. They have this dual ministry that we talked about earlier. He blesses God. He blesses Abram on behalf of God, the Most High God. He blesses God on behalf of Abram. And so there again you see the functioning of the priest. He's in between. He works on behalf of God. He works also on behalf of man. He does the two. And this passage is quoted in Hebrews to show the greatness of our Lord Jesus, who is really typified in this great Melchizedek, the king of Salem, the king of peace. Now, before the Lord Jesus could become the king of peace, as we'll see in the millennium, he had to be the king of righteousness. All God's righteousness was maintained by the Lord Jesus, not only in his life. On the cross, he maintained God's right by giving himself as a sacrifice. And so the king of Salem is the result of that. Without this righteousness, you cannot have peace. And that's why the kingdom of God today is first righteousness, then peace, then joy in the Holy Spirit. Romans 14:17.